When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. On a feel-good football Friday heading into week 15 of the NFL. Also had the big press conferences yesterday, Juan Soto and Bill Belichick, but the front page of the New York Post actually had a update on one of the bigger sports stories that we had seen in the last 20 years, and it had to do with the Duke lacrosse team and the woman that accused those players, Crystal Magnum, which I don't believe is her real name, but of course she was a adult entertainer, came out and said, yes, indeed, she made it all up, which we knew, but she had never admitted that. And came out and talked about how she testified and everything she said was a complete lie. And just that story back in 2006 was such a huge deal. And I know there were at least one kid that was from Long Island who got wrapped up in that. And their lives were essentially at that point ruined during that time. And they were able to get their reputations back and everything else. But, you know, all these years later, I guess she found religion or whatever it may be and wanted to get this off her chest publicly and came out and said it. But I had a lot of memories of that time and how bad all of that was for those kids that had to go through that, for someone to just, you know, make it up.
I had my show on MSG at that time.
Yeah.
And, I knew the family personally. Mm. And I kind of had some of the inside information on what was going on and how it was being played out in the media. And that Michael Nifong, the DA down there, was as dirty as the day is long. Mm-hmm. And he was a scumbag.
Yeah.
And that guy should have gone to jail. I don't know if he went to jail for that or something. I don't remember. But ultimately, yeah, it's just such a heartbreaking story when you have to defend your son when he's nowhere near any of it. Has nothing to do with any of it.
And all of the public believes that they did. And yes. It became like, oh, you know, look at these privileged kids who think they can get away with everything. And it just became this story, the racial element to it. It was just, I mean, and then to have to go through that with all of it being a completely made up lie.
Exactly. So, I mean, and that happens, you know, on a daily basis these days. And it's, you know, I think it was like the precursor to a lot of these things. You know, the whole OJ thing, the racial component to it, the impact that it has on people that aren't totally following the story. All they hear is what they hear when it first comes out, and then immediately they start assuming the worst. Mm. And I remember watching this particular family. I'm not going to go into who they are and everything. People know who they are. Their names are easy to find. But I just, you know, it just rips your heart out. And as a parent, it just completely takes the life out of you. And you got to fight and you got to fight and you got to believe in your kids. And believe me, these kids were raised the right way. And I know them personally. And the young man who was accused, you know, was a beautiful kid, had a bright future ahead of him. And, you know, as far as I know, everything is okay and he's doing well. And but he had to fight through it for like 5 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and very few people believed them early on. And that was the worst part about it.
I did.
And, yeah, I know you did. But I'm talking about nationally and the way that they were treated. Very few people took their side, and it was a shame. And I remember you telling me stories about how helicopters were over the family's house and just, like, you know, terrible stuff. But I mean, if you know, they've been vindicated for years now, and obviously this is another thing out there with the actual woman coming forward and saying that she made it all up to if you know, erase every single bit of everything in this story to, you know, fully vindicate and understand how they were the victims in all of this. So yeah, it was interesting that popped back up because I mean we all remember it very vividly, and you were tied closer to it than most.
Yeah, it was a rough time, man. You know, it was like 9/11 was a rough time. If you knew people, if you had friends up there, and you knew the families that were left behind. Watching this family go through what they went through and how they went through it, I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and you just try to support the best way you can. You try to be, you know, I was honest back then when I was doing my MSG show and I was doing all the different opinion pieces and things of that nature. I don't know how many people wanted to listen to it or wanted to hear me say what I was saying back then. But now seeing this, it's just further vindication now of who those young men were.
All right, so this hour we are giving away System of a Down tickets from MetLife Stadium. Also, another pair of Giants-Ravens, or no, we already gave those away.
We have another pair in the 9 a.m.
All right, another pair in the 9 a.m. hour. So System of a Down this hour, Giants-Ravens 9 a.m. hour. We were just talking about the Yankees and their plan B and how Kyle Tucker's name has come up. It's going to take a lot to get him, and those two organizations hate one another, so I don't necessarily think that a deal is going to be made between the two, but they are in hot pursuit of him, and if he gets traded, you know Brian Cashman's going to be right there. Let's go to Corey and Tom's River. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. So last year when this trade happened with Soto, the narrative was anything short of a World Series was an absolute failure if you didn't re-sign Soto at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point, like we're just not, or like the media itself is just not hard enough on Cashman for letting him go. Whether they didn't set a proper culture, whatever the case may be, there was reasons that he walked away. And especially with that press conference yesterday, you know, I feel like they look like a bunch of clowns for not re-signing him. So it seems like last year as well with the Yamamoto deal and Steve Cohen going crazy and offering him all this money, there was like this belief that players were using Cohen to drive up the price of teams they wanted to go to. But it's like that's happened with the Yankees now, with Yamamoto, with Soto. And now Kyle Tucker's in play for another rental. Like he's only under contract for another year. So how many pitching prospects are we going to?
Yeah, your phone's dying, but I get your point. You don't want to do it again with Kyle Tucker because it's only under contract for one more year, then is unrestricted free agent after that. You want to talk about pitching prospects? Yeah, I mean, Luis Gil's name has been mentioned in that, the AL Rookie of the Year. And if you don't sign him, now all of a sudden you've traded away, you know, Michael King in the Soto deal, maybe Gil in the Tucker deal, and then for what? For nothing. You lost in the World Series. You got embarrassed. So you'd have to sign him. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Now, Scott Boras is not Kyle Tucker's agent. So Casey Close is Kyle Tucker's agent. So maybe when they make the trade, they can come to an extension if Brian Cashman steps up in a big way. But I think most guys want to test free agency, and they want to. That's what they want to do.
I would say if I were Kyle Tucker and you're going to put me in the Yankee lineup, I'm not signing an extension until the year's over. I'm going to bet on myself just like Juan Soto did.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the beauty of if they actually do make the trade for Kyle Tucker, put him in that lineup. He fits in perfectly. He plays right field. I guess Judge could go to left field, and you could put Jason Dominguez in center field.
Yes, and he's going to, all eyes are going to be on Dominguez this year, man. He's going to be a huge part of this team's success if he ends up being the player that Brian Cashman believes he could be. I mean, you know, the ultimate troll job in the world would be for Kyle Tucker to go to the Yankees for that 1 year, you know, to get all the prospects from the Yankees in that deal and then go back and sign with the Astros after this. I don't think that would be the case because I do think that the Astros are, we're trading him away because they don't think they're going to be able to pay him, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know how they're doing business over there with all the success that they have had.
That market is huge. It's the fifth largest television market in the country, I believe.
Yeah.
Houston is. They obviously have a very good team. They do well at the box office, and I'm shocked that they would even let this guy go. Maybe they have already offered him a contract to try to buy out some of his arbitration years, and he has said no. So I don't know that. That may be a part of one of the reasons why Houston is considering trading him, if in fact that is accurate.
Yeah, I mean, and I also think that there's unique opportunities where a guy could be so coveted. So here's another. So there are teams that lost out on Juan Soto, who is a right fielder and a great hitter. So the Astros are thinking, all right, we might have some really desperate teams, the other four teams that missed out on Juan Soto, who would love Kyle Tucker, that may overpay in a way that we can't say no to. And we don't know if he's going to sign with us or not. I mean, and also seeing that Soto deal and him getting $765 million, I mean, like, we're just not doing that. Like, if Kyle Tucker gets $550, $600 million or something nuts, we're not doing that. So, like, now is the time to see what you can get.
Right. I wanted to say to Corey, I think the Yankees made a legitimate offer, and there's no question about that. The Mets were not going to be beaten out at all. And if I appreciate the Yankees saying, hey, you know, we're giving you $760 million. You can buy your own suite if you want it. I mean, we're not giving you a suite. Our captain doesn't have a suite. Remember I was telling you last year during the season that it's going to be really hard to re-sign Juan Soto when Aaron Judge is sitting there on that team and he's your captain, he makes the most money, and now you're going to pay this guy twice the money that you're giving to the captain? It's great that he got it somewhere else, and I'm happy for him. More money? Great, go get it. That's what you've lived for. This is your dream come true. And you bet on yourself. So I told you, a million times I've respected him. But Aaron Judge doesn't get a suite. I mean, that could have been, you know, upsetting within the clubhouse. I really do think so.
Yeah.
Because the year before, maybe Aaron Judge's agent said, hey, we want a suite for Aaron. And then Brian Cashman says, no, we don't give suites. We've never given a suite. You know, Derek Jeter didn't get a suite.
Yeah.
You know, A-Rod didn't get a suite. You're not getting a suite. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, somewhere you got to draw the line and you got to be realistic.
Yeah, WFAN's got a suite.
Yeah.
Yankee right. Stadium.
Well, so what?
I'm just saying.
I will say, though, I did get the office.
That
whole thing. That was a big fiasco.
Yeah, that is true. You did. When Mike left, you got the office.
I got the office. Well, it was so barren in there. There was no character.
Yeah.
There's white walls, a TV in the corner, and a desk with nothing on it.
It's like you were waiting to go into the dentist. That's basically what it was.
Did you ever go in there?
One time. One time. That's when he did the in the hopper conversation with me.
Oh.
Where he said in the hopper a million times. He's talking to me. He's like, okay, so now that you're going out to Pittsburgh, they're going to put you in the hopper. And you'll be in the hopper. And depending on how you do, they'll either take you out of the hopper or, you know, you'll be in the hopper. But, you know, I mean, it's a good place to be in the hopper.
Well, he's right. I mean, I'm glad you got out of the hopper.
There's not a lot of people that are in the hopper. There's people that in their whole career are wanting to be in the hopper. And you are now in the hopper.
Giannotti, I mean, he is short on ability. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we went from that to that. So that's what I got. That's a speech I got before. Then when I came back, I got that. I mean, do your show. Get some ratings through your show and, you know, shut up.
I mean, Giannotti, stop with the impersonations of me. I mean, enough already. God.
By the way, I was never in the hopper.
You know what? I think you were.
I wasn't in the hopper.
You were in the hopper.
No, I was not.
Hold on, wait. Stop. You were in the hopper.
How was I in the hopper?
Two times you're in the hopper.
Okay.
Two times. The first was at the end of your playing career, many entities were talking about you being an announcer.
Yes.
So the TV, the networks at that time had you in the hopper. You were in the hopper.
Yeah, but I wasn't in the WFA.
No, you were in a gold-plated hopper.
But you platinum. Were in the hopper.
Platinum.
And by yes. the way...
Sorry.
Yeah.
By the way...
I mean, I did spend 14 years on the field.
And there's no doubt that your name was in the hopper immediately because you had done all the call-ins with Mike and Chris. You were a local guy. You were a fan of the local teams. And also, you'd gone on with Imus a lot. So the second that Imus got fired, you got a phone call. So that right there is being the definition of being in the hopper.
Yeah, but I was never thinking about doing this. So I you...
Boomer Esiason, always a man who enjoys speaking in a microphone.
Yeah.
And that was in 1989.
Yeah.
So you can...
Thanks, Eddie.
Now, maybe you didn't realize realize you were in the hopper, but people had you in a hopper.
So you're telling me that Chernoff had me in a hopper.
I agree. Yes, I think Joel Hollander...
Well, Joel Hollander gave me the job at Westwood One. Yes.
Yeah, I think Joel Hollander had you in a hopper. You might not have known it, but Chernoff, Hollander, those guys, you in a hopper. You're definitely in a hopper.
Well, I mean, you're running around here in a hopper. When I hear Mike saying the hopper...
You in a hopper.
I'm thinking you're running around here like you're doing your... Producing stuff, you're doing.
No, but when I was leaving to become a talk show host somewhere else, that's when he officially put me in the hopper. I was not a hopper.
See, I was never officially in the hopper.
Yeah, before he became an on-air person, he was like one of the guys shoveling stuff into the hopper.
Yes, right.
Hoping to maybe get in the hopper.
That's a hopper guy, not me. I was not.
Yeah,
but
different hopper.
Yeah, different levels of hopper, but definitely you were in one.
I was not in one.
Well, yeah, because here's the thing. I was working at... the corporate offices when Howard Stern was leaving.
Yes.
And we had a hopper of potential guys. I was not there when Imus was leaving, so they had to have a hopper. That was the
way I don't think they had
did
a hopper.
Business.
So they had a hopper.
Was it true that Carton was in the hopper for Howard Stern? He claims that he was in the hopper for that.
I know he was in the hopper for the FM talk station. I didn't know if that was afternoons or mornings, but he was in that hopper.
He was in that hopper.
For sure.
All right.
I may have not been privy to the other hopper.
So do you think, who would be the gatekeeper of the hopper? Would that be the architect?
He was one of them at the time of the Howard Stern one, but I think was also one of your time too with the Imus.
Imus one.
Yes.
And he was
in the hopper.
Well, I would say Joel Hollander was a part of that. Like, yes. You know, because the moment that it was announced, I told you guys that story, the moment that it was announced that unfortunately Imus was fired. You know, I was on a golf course in Arizona talking to you, Eddie, trying to make my donation to his radiothon here. And you said you weren't taking any calls because you had just found out that Imus had gotten fired. And Deirdre was on the radio station, right?
Correct.
And she was hosting. With
Correct.
Bernard.
Because they wouldn't let him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hang up the phone. I'm out there at Estancia in Arizona, Scottsdale.
Yeah.
And I hit a shot right down the middle, man.
Yeah, that was early in the morning then.
That was very early in the morning for me, yes. I think we teed off like at 7 o'clock or something. That was even earlier than that. But anyway, 2 minutes later, Joel Hollander or Steve Rosner, one of them, were on the phone. Would you like to do morning radio?
There See,
you
go. But I don't so know. That, just the definition of being in the hopper. You were in the hopper.
Yeah, I don't know if I was in the
you
hopper.
You were in the hopper. They called you the same thing. I'm fine. That's a hopper spot.
Your you agent know? Doesn't put you in the hopper. I mean, he was with Joel, who was not a part of WFAN, but he was still doing his...
You can't argue this. There's no reason to argue this. There's really no reason for you to have the opposite opinion on this. There's no reason. You win the hopper.
No, you were in the hopper.
You were in the hopper.
You were different hoppers. Now, let's be clear. Platinum hopper.
You win a hopper.
Tin hopper.
Right.
But still.
Ended up in the same place.
You and the big boy that went out to Cleveland.
Cleveland?
Yeah, who's the big guy that went out to Cleveland?
Oh, Adam the Bull.
The Bull.
He was in the hopper.
He was in a hopper.
He was definitely in a hopper.
You ever think sometimes...
Valenti in a hopper?
Not anymore.
Not
it was,
anymore,
but yeah.
Like how great your life was. You were just golfing in Arizona on a Tuesday. Now you're here every morning at 5 a.m.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Amy Lawrence chewing your ear off.
Love it.
Your office.
You didn't know how good you had it.
Right.
You
some
know what?
Sales guy standing outside with 15 shirts in plastic. I mean,
Oh, you, okay, you make me laugh.
You had it all. Right, yeah, you had it all, man. You had it all, and you let it go.
It's been fun, though.
But you let it go.
It has been fun, I will say that.
Well, of course.
But. Unpredictable and fun, but I still don't feel like I was in a hopper.
All right.
I'm going to go to my grave saying I was not in a hopper.
You were in a hopper. Monica Crowley was in a hopper.
Yes, exactly.
It was a lot of people.
It was
a hopper.
Geraldo
Rivera, yeah.
You know who was also in that hopper? Was Carlin and Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Chernoff loved those two together.
They were
together.
Pushed up to the front of the hopper, but somebody else had different ideas.
Indeed.
Well, that's nice.
The hopper. Who's in the hopper now?
I would say Lou Gower.
He's on the air, though.
But he's still in the hopper. Like, he's not... Like, he'll do some CeeLo.
CeeLo is not in the hopper. I love CeeLo, but that's...
What about C-Mac?
But these guys, I feel like they're on the air.
Yeah, but they're not in prime time, is what I'm saying.
I went to Market 25.
What about Marash?
No, he's part of that show. I mean, he's paid like a host.
If we would ever, like, deport Tommy Lou Gower to, say, I don't know, Detroit. No, not Detroit.
That doesn't happen anymore.
That's what I'm saying. But like, could you imagine sending that kid somewhere where he would have to do the Loogie?
Yeah, no.
He'd be like, the Pistons have dogs.
Dude's dogs damage. I'd be like, dogs? Who talks like that?
But the hopper is just kind of idling now.
What about the zoo?
Yeah.
What about the big zoo?
I'll tell you one guy that I believe is in the hopper who doesn't do a ton of on-air work. But does enough, and I believe is making headway. Boyle's in the hopper.
Oh, he's definitely
in the hopper. Yeah.
But like the guys, like C-Mac's got a full time position on WFAN. You can't be in the hopper when you got a full time position.
What happens if one of us, like, you know, gets in a car accident on the way home?
It depends which one. Like, if it's you, then like there'd be other athletes that they're thinking of in the hopper.
Phil.
If it's me, then they've got hosts that they have in the hopper.
If it's a boomer, Ryan will be getting a call from Willie Colon.
Oh, yeah. Willie Colon. He loves Willie Colon. He thinks Willie Colon can do everything.
Willie's in the hopper. Like a hopper.
Willie's in the hopper. Definitely.
But C-Mac, like, he's already... C-Mac's on the train already. I mean, he's in the cattle car. He's not in a nice luxury sleeper car with the bar, but
true.
Do you think it's better to be strictly in the hopper or on WFAN?
Depends if you're good or not. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like if you're really good and you have an opportunity to showcase that, then obviously you've got that. Like, that's the place to be. Like, you've got that 5 hours every day if you're the overnight guy. If you're someone who's really talented and not getting your opportunities and you're sitting there in the hopper, then that's tough. But if you're like only mediocre and you're showing that every day and you got exposed when you were in the hopper and now you're on every day and you're not that good, then it's not a good place to be. You know, I remember John Minko said about a host once who was filling in, and I won't say who the host was, but this is like the one time I ever heard John Minko be critical. So it was a guy who was picking up some popularity around here. He was a filling in here or there. People liked him. And then he did a week of shows around Christmas. And Mink didn't think he was very good. And Mink goes, sometimes there's a reason you're the backup quarterback.
Oh, Tony Johnson.
And that's what I mean by that. Like, when you get a taste of somebody here or there, not all the time, and you're like, oh, he was good. But then they get that long stretch, and you're like, oh, crap. Misdiagnosed that
one. I'll give you an example of a guy who is not in the hopper right now. And is on the air, but has been like in the back of the minds hopper guy for a while right here. That's Sal.
Sal's a midday show
host. I'm saying right now, I know he is a host now, but like he's the prime example of a guy that, you know, he was a hopper guy.
True.
Right? And then he had to do the overnights and he's screaming and yelling at people, kind of like C-Mac is.
Well, he was in the hopper with me, but then Sal got fired.
See, that's the other thing. That's how... All right, so that's how talented he is.
Sal tried to like force his way into a different
right. Like car. I took the smart, intelligent route when I was in the hopper, and Sal
took lit fires.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sal blew up the hopper.
Oh, he did.
With an IED.
What about someone who used to be on the train, who's on a different train now? Could they be maybe considered for a future situation?
I don't know. I think that... No.
Suck my left nut!
Yeah, that was just you setting up that drop.
Yes, that's correct.
That wasn't a serious question. You knew the answer to that. You just wanted to play suck my left nut. And I understand, and I appreciate that.
You know what I noticed? That's tough sometimes. You have a guy in the hopper.
Yeah.
And they team him with another guy.
In the hopper?
Maybe
or out of the hopper?
Maybe in or out of the hopper, but it's pretty good. Then the guy in the hopper gets teamed with another person, not so great, and then you start to doubt the guy in the hopper. Like, maybe he's not so good. That happens sometimes.
That's a tricky one.
This is why
I'm a loser.
You're our deep thinker.
That's why you got to be careful who you agree to team with during fill-in times.
Yeah, and you know what? I that scared the hell out of me in Pittsburgh, because I was teamed up originally with a guy that I just couldn't stand, thought he was terrible. And I'm like, this guy could sink me. But I didn't allow it to happen. Like, I was so, because I was nuts. I was like 27. It was my whole career. So I just basically was like, listen, I'm taking control of this whole thing. You're going to get buried somewhere here in Pittsburgh, all right? You're here. You're good. You're fine. So just zip it and listen to me and we'll be all right.
I like that. I like that attitude, man.
Yeah, it worked out.
Cut to the chase. It did.
The hopper.
The hopper. Well, there you go. We just had a hopper conversation.
We did. So let's take a break. We'll get Jerry in here. He's going to have just a couple of minutes to play us some.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's PHILO.TV to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Stop.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I feel good football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Get right over to Jerry, who's got some stuff for us this hour. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. A couple things from the Juan Soto press conference Thursday as we wrap things up. Steve Cohen getting Soto a big deal. Make no mistake about it.
Just puts an accent on what we're trying to do. I mean, it just, like I said, it accelerates, you know, our goal of winning championships. But more important, I think, you know, I kind of said it in the locker room after one of the one of our playoff victories that, you know, my goal was to change how the Mets were viewed.
And we played that, if you remember last week.
Yeah, I mean, I also feel like he said these same things when they signed Verlander and Scherzer.
Yeah. Did he?
I feel like it was like the same thing. You know, we're trying to accelerate to get to a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, every year in the offseason, obviously, when you sign a player of this magnitude, you're obviously going to have, you know, those positive feelings, and you're trying to say to your fan base, look, we're trying to change the way we do things around here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that last year and them coming out of nowhere and being a team that started off horrible and never gave up and ended up going to the NLCS, that was a big part of changing the Mets narrative, because Met fans like me were so negative, like they're dead in May, they're done, we've seen this story before, and it was wrong. And now I think this and taking a player from the Yankees in his prime and paying more money than anybody else certainly changes the narrative. But the thing that's going to change the narrative the most is if Juan Soto has a decade of great years in a Mets uniform and they win a championship. That's the thing that's going to change the Mets narrative, because anything short of that is going to be made fun of by every other fan in Major League Baseball and every other organization. You know, the Braves, the Phillies, yeah, the Yankees, the Dodgers.
Here's what they have to do. They have to stay in the mix, kind of like the way the Yankees have, the way the Dodgers have, the way the Phillies have, and the Braves. So it just so happens that two of those three teams are in their same division.
I know.
So they got a much, I don't know, they're always tough. It's 162 games. But hey, to me, this guy's got to win. This is MVP money, you know?
Oh, indeed.
I mean, like, where does his war rank?
Isolate that for me, please. He spent 1 year in the Bronx, obviously. Here was Soto's, I would say, heartfelt 35-second message to Yankee fans.
I want to say thank you. I'm actually just want to say thank you to them. They really showed me all the love.
Juan Soto, you.
And everything that they have.
Have fun never getting back to the World Series with your 15-year bullshit.
They really have a spot in my heart.
Yo, Juan Soto, listen up, man. Shut the f*** up.
Tough that we couldn't get it together and try to be back and stuff like that.
You're a money-hungry bitch.
Definitely, I always going to appreciate what they did for me in 2024.
F*** you and the horse you rode in on.
Not so sure.
Yeah, love's funny. Not mutual there.
That's pretty funny.
Love's not mutual.
Yeah, that's how things are going. North Carolina also introduced Bill Belichick yesterday. Here's Belichick. Pretty good fit for me.
I'm here to as Bubba said, teach, develop, and build a program.
Yeah, Bubba Cunningham is the AD.
Bubba Cunningham.
And by the way, guys from Phi Kappa Kappa.
Right. Bubba also cut the sleeves off of his jacket.
That's Bubba there.
That's Bubba. Yeah, now watch. He'll
doesn't
take his
look like a Bubba.
He'll take his jacket off. And he'll put another jacket on, and you'll see he cut the sleeves off. So, there you go.
Yeah, but that's actually kind of wrong, because Belichick has the sleeves cut off, the hoodie cut off on the arm.
He obviously knows nothing about Bill Belichick.
Now, we know he signed this 5-year deal. Here's Cliff Kingsbury. He's not buying it.
I will have to see him on the sideline to believe that's happening. We'll see how the NFL job search goes and all that. I will have to see him on the sideline coaching in Chapel Hill to believe that's happening.
What do you make of this?
Wow.
His buyout is $10 million. June 1st, the buyout drops to $1 million. That's strange.
Yeah, you know, unless that, I don't know. I mean, you're going to ask Mike Lombardi and all these coaches to come in and Steve Belichick to come in. Is there a... And then what? Then all of a sudden the Giants come knocking on your door and you're like, okay, I'm going to take the Giant job? No way.
I mean, all those hemorrhoids will follow him to wherever he goes. Are you kidding me? What else? I mean, without Bill Belichick, Steve Belichick's nothing. Mike Lombardi was doing some crappy, unlistened to podcast before he got here. You think those guys are going to be upset? He goes, hey, we're going to go to the NFL now. I mean, I think that the bigger point is you're going to make North Carolina do all of this and then
leave
them in
the dust. That's what I'm saying. I just can't see Bill Belichick doing that to North Carolina. I'm sorry, I can't. I know Cliff, I don't know if maybe he was just tongue-in-cheek there, but
I don't think he was. Watching it, didn't look like it.
He also said, we'll see how the coaching search goes in the offseason, you know, meaning that he still thinks that there's a chance.
But I also think that coaches probably look at Bill Belichick a little bit differently than owners do.
Yeah, and Bill's not the type of guy who would resign after a day and write it down on a napkin or anything.
No, he's not that kind of guy.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty funny. Here was one from Belichick. Let's see if I can find it.
Bill, what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here, that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
Yeah, I didn't come here to leave.
And then he got an applause for that. So we shall see. Quickly, the Rams beat the Niners 12-6. Joshua Cardi kicked 4 field goals in this thriller. San Francisco linebacker Devondre Campbell refused to play. Here was George Kittle. Just terrible what he did.
I don't like distractions on the sideline. I think that's ignorant, and I think it's just dumb. It's just stupid, and it's very immature, and I just don't see how you can do something like that to your team.
And so everybody is obviously expecting him to be cut today, so we shall see. With the win, the Rams are 8-6, very much alive for the playoffs and the division.
Why is he getting an escort? You know, is that to make it seem like he's leaving with an injury? Is that a trainer?
I don't know. That could be the security guy. Like, all right, you're going to maybe Shanahan or somebody told him, take him in, tell him to get dressed and tell him to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, all right.
It's probably a security guy, I would think.
I did have, and I think you brought it up, I did have all the sound from that, the Duke thing.
Yeah.
From the Let's Talk with Kat podcast, from the prison interview that she did with Crystal Mangum, if that's her name or not. So if we have time next hour, I will get it to you. Nets are in Memphis tonight. We'll have it on the Fan at 7:50. The Devils did beat the Kings 3-1. The Islanders beat the Blackhawks 5-4. Wasn't easy, but they did win. And tomorrow, you've got Army, Navy, 3 o'clock on CBS.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on this Feel Good Football Friday. Boomer's been bothered by the music he has heard over the last few minutes. It started with the System of a Down tickets that we gave away, and then they ran a commercial with the music, and then we came back with this song, and you're just not having it.
Well, I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. I got a headache right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I just got done with my Navage, so I'm good. I'm feeling, you know, much more relieved.
Yeah, get that snot out the nose.
Yeah, exactly. But, Al's playing his screaming and yelling music. I'm like...
Trying to get you pumped.
Yeah, I am pumped. You know, I'm 63 years old, and the last thing I need at 9 o'clock in the morning is somebody screaming in my ear. But that's all right. That's fine. I'm good. It's a feel-good Friday, I think.
It is a feel-good Friday.
We're trying.
Why wouldn't it be a feel-good football
Friday? I mean,
Juan
Soto's in the house.
Yeah.
You know, we got him. That's good.
Yeah, you know, on Fridays, when I drive home, I listen, no offense to Beat Teens Out, I listen to them every single other day when I get in the car. That's why we replay some of their stuff.
Oh, you mean like it's not one of these, I don't listen?
No, I listen every day. But Friday.
Yes,
Friday,
okay.
I get in the car and I play music on the way home and I get fired up and I play all my, you know, happy songs. It put me in a good mood. And I fly home.
A lot of Dua Lipa, I bet you.
Damn right. Who, by the way, was on CBS This Morning yesterday.
Are you jealous?
I am. That Nate Burleson had a chance to interview Dua Lipa. It probably didn't even register with him, you know?
I mean, no, it did. Of course it did.
I don't think that it did.
Yes,
I don't think
it did.
And also, she was on with Colbert, so she was bopping around New York. Because CBS is doing a special. They're running her live from Royal Albert Hall show on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
At 8 p.m.
Why don't you get a hold of her dad and get her in here?
Yeah.
I mean, we're the ones that should be promoting it locally.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I know that she probably has a contract with CBS that she has to do all the promotion.
Oh, no doubt.
But this is a CBS sports network. We like Dua Lipa.
Love. Yeah, I thought about it, but I was like, I don't want to. I mean, I went through the whole thing in May and, you know, very nice, and it was a great day, and I didn't want to ruin it. I was like, I got the meet and greet situation. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to push it now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Although, you know, next fall, She will be performing.
You just look happy there.
Well, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you be?
Couldn't you just take a picture of just you and her?
I did do that. Of course, I cropped them out of you. I didn't take a picture of just the two of us. That was my one chance at it, and they allowed me.
And the folks upstairs, who are great,
yeah,
jumped into your picture. So, obviously, you could just crop them out on your phone.
I did crop them out. There was another opportunity. It was like, because I had eyes on me that day. People didn't trust me.
You had eyes on you?
I didn't like that at all. I was very disappointed.
What kind of eyes?
I don't know. I think people who didn't know me thought that I was going to pull some radio bit.
Right.
And that's what annoyed
me.
There
you go. Now it's cropped. Now it looks like just you and her.
Exactly.
And that's a good picture of you, by the way.
Thank you.
You look very good. You look happy. You're glowing. Did you keep your makeup on for that?
I did.
Okay.
I did, absolutely.
Good job on your part.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew what I was doing.
Did she have heels on, or is she that tall?
She's that tall. Yeah. She might have had heels on, but she is 5'9", I think. I want to say 5'9". But she probably had heels. I don't really remember, boots or something. I don't know. I blacked out like Mike Tyson did at the Jake Paul fight. I don't remember.
She definitely had.
I don't remember exactly what was going on.
Boots on or high heels.
But she is still tall.
Stunning.
Yeah, of course she's tall. But yeah, so CBS this morning, she was on with Tony DiCopoli and Nate Burleson promoting her stuff. But in the fall, I think she's doing a couple shows at Madison Square Garden. So maybe that's the time.
This is where you got to come to promote that stuff.
Damn right. Maybe we'll get Doogie Leap in there. You know, get him in the studio. Me and Doogie. A couple of friends.
Yes.
I told you when I was there at the Saturday Night Live show and like in the area that they have the audience prior to going in. And Doogie Leap was over there, and I was with Gina, and I said, I'm going to say hi to Dua Lipa's dad. And she's like, because I just met him like the previous day. And she's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, yeah, I am. She's like, you think he's going to actually remember you? I'm like, yeah, I think he will. We had a nice conversation. We're on a text thread now. And I remember going over and him recognizing me and going, hey.
Ah, there you go.
Came up, pound and hug. And she's like, what world am I living in? How am I here where I'm watching my husband give a pound and a hug to Dua Lipa's dad?
By the way, you know, speaking of Nate Burleson, I was just looking at the weather in Detroit.
Ooh.
They're going to the big game this weekend, Buffalo at Detroit. And right now in Detroit, it's 12 degrees. And now, I don't know, I'm assuming that they're going to be, and I'm looking at Sunday's weather. Now, obviously, they play in a dome, so it's not going to affect the game. But I don't know if they're going to be outside at some tailgating like they're doing in Buffalo a couple weeks back.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have they decided on that? Because when they went up to Buffalo, they jumped through the table. So we're trying to figure out like what they could do in Detroit. So have they figured that out? Maybe crack? They could do that.
What? So on Sunday, it looks like it's going to be like in the 40s and raining outside. So I don't know if the set's going to be outside or inside.
Yeah, maybe they could go and gentrify a neighborhood. You know, they could do that. Certain things you do. What do you do in Detroit?
Well, you know, Detroit has actually been built back significantly.
Yeah.
I was out there about 2 years ago for an event.
And you haven't gone back.
There was no reason for me to go back.
Exactly, because you got paid.
The downtown's got the stadiums down there now. Got all the...
Yeah, it's awesome.
The hockey stadium down there.
Yeah.
Basketball, the Pistons, everybody's out of Pontiac now.
And Jewel of America. Detroit.
I'm telling you, it's.
Okay.
Stop. All right. Whatever.
Just stop.
There is no way those guys are sitting outside in a domed stadium. No way.
I'm thinking. I thought I saw them promoting it, showing an outside venue where obviously fans congregate pregame for tailgating. So they would like to be around the fans. I'm assuming.
But
JB, you know, he gets a little touchy when it gets a little cold and wet and rainy. You don't like that.
Well, of course not. Who does?
He needs to put his foot down. That's what I would go up to him and say. He was like my Anthony Munoz when I was there. I was like, hey, man, put your foot down. If you put your foot down, they'll react. Like if I say something or Phil says something, coach says something, they ain't reacting.
And we do that with you around here.
Right, exactly. So I know
we
exactly.
We want something dumb, we put a bug in your ear.
You know it, I know it, and I do it, and I accept that role.
That's right.
Like JB sometimes is, you know, just so nice. It was hard to get him to get mad. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but putting him outside in Detroit in December, that'll make anybody mad.
Well, if it were 12 degrees and sunny like it is right now, he'd be upset. But if it's going to be like 41 and rainy,
Yeah, there's no. I mean, they probably have a tent or something. To
yeah,
put
well,
over.
Of course, yeah, they'll have that. You know, the traveling set with. I'm sure that's what Sean Kennedy is doing.
He's not out there with them.
Well, guys like him.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that no, Stephen Waldron's not working today.
Oh, that's right. He sent us an email.
Yeah.
Andrew Parenti, CBS Sports. Andrew Parenti.
Yeah.
Are they going to be outside on Good Morning?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you got to know. You got to know these things. Can you find that out?
I mean, I would assume they would be inside. I mean, it's a dome.
Yeah, you don't know, assume anything, Andrew. Guess. You can't do that.
I'm not going to assume anything, but if I was doing it, that's what I would put.
I need you to find out two things, Andrew, as you fill in for Steve today. One, are they going to be inside or outside in the pregame show, and what Detroit-themed bit are they going to do? Can you get those two for me?
Detroit, let me just write this down.
Yeah.
All right,
are they inside or outside, and what Detroit-themed bit are they going to do?
Okay,
got it.
You're going to eat Detroit pizza or something?
I'll work on that.
All right, there's Andrew Parenti filling in for
Steve. And I'm thinking that the college guys are going down to Army-Navy. They've been going out on the road.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Game day will be there.
Game day is there?
They're always there.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the CBS guys, the pre, you know, halftime and postgame.
Talk about Zucker and Brian Jones and Neuheisel.
Yeah.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.